Stewart is bald, Bruce Willis is bald, Sean Connery is bald, Vin Diesel is bald, John Travolta bald, Jason Statham bald.
It's all powered by the Tennessee Lottery, this tribute song to the student of the ball Buck Rising.
JT just gave me the smuggest look behind that board.
He's behind 6 inches of bulletproof glass. He can look at you any way he wants to.
I am not in here to get insulted. I'm gonna start stress eating these donuts that have been here probably since 6 a.m. Yeah,
I think that's sitting right in front of where Blaine Bishop might have been sitting at some point.
Blaine doesn't eat donuts.
If Blaine was here, there wouldn't be any donuts.
Blaine has the biggest sweet tooth out here.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
Blaine loves honey buns.
Honey buns, if he's listening.
Oh, I do know he loves honey buns because the vendor people always leave him extras.
Oh, that's when you know.
Yep.
That's when you know.
They take care of him.
The Buck. Honey bun plug.
Yep.
Buck, we were talking during the break. So many, this is going to be the most interesting offseason for the Titans that I can ever remember.
Yeah.
There's so many angles with which we can lead you right now. But the secondary came up during the break, and what was a strength for the first part of the season now turns into a lot of question marks moving forward. How much upheaval do you think there is with regard to the Titans secondary between now and 2020 start of the season?
I mean, with things breaking the way that they look like they're going to break, it's probably going to be, based on where they're picking, certainly in the draft, and based on what's available in free agency, your best value at addressing what will likely be a loss in Logan Ryan, I would imagine, based on this point in the season. I would think that they would draft a corner probably with pick number 29 at the end of the first round. There's a lot of guys that will be available to them. It's a cost-effective strategy, especially if you're going to pick up the fifth-year option of a Dory Jackson. That decision will have to be made. Now, obviously, that's a different salary cap calculation and all of those things, but if you're going to want to keep a Dory around, I think it's best to build through the draft with your secondary. They're going to have to address the pass rush. It's going to be a lot different because Logan is a sound tackler. Logan is a smart player, and he's one of the most vocal parts of that defense in terms of when they tried to turn this thing around, Logan Ryan was one of the pieces that they built upon. And I think he has served his purpose in that regard. But now they need guys that can cover, and they need guys that can get to the quarterback that make it easier on the secondary.
See, that's an interesting point where you combine both positions. And Logan Ryan was big in the pass rush game.
Logan was, but you would rather be able to get pressure with four than having to bring your slot corner on disguises and on blitzes. I think that in sacrificing a larger veteran free agent, be it Logan Ryan or somebody else, instead of paying that money, I think that money should be devoted to getting a pass rush.
So your take on Logan is because of the expense of what he's going to be. What if he, and I know this is hypothetical, yeah, right, but what if he takes a hometown discount, wants to stay here, wants to play with this defense? I mean, what is your take simply on Logan's going to end up being too much money and you can get what you need or what he can bring you elsewhere?
I see.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's a balance because Logan Ryan loves it here. Logan Ryan bought a house here. Logan Ryan is very invested in this community and has done great things in terms of the community here in Nashville. I think Logan Ryan would like to stay in a perfect world in Nashville, but it's not necessarily a perfect world. And with the needs that you have, I mean, it was very apparent that they ran out of gas against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And even with a pass rush.
It's a very quick, fast team.
Very, you've very quick, fast. And so it's a more effective, if you can get directly to the quarterback, it mitigates a little bit of your pressure on the back end, obviously. And so to devote that money to a higher end pass rusher when based on your draft pick, you're going to be picking towards the end of every round because you did have a successful season, the easier fix, at least on paper, is to go with a cheaper option in the secondary and lean a little bit harder on Kevin Byard and Vaccaro and Butler, who you have invested in the way that you invested in Logan Ryan. And he's grateful to you.
Is Hooker ready to take on a bigger role with this group, do you think?
I liked it when he was out there. He's not somebody he had rookie moments, and he's going to have rookie moments. He's a fourth round pick, but they got a great value and they have a smart player. He's never in the wrong spot. Maybe he misses a tackle, or maybe there's a little bit of miscommunication and things happen, like when you're a rookie. But he is oftentimes exactly where he needs to be, and his spatial awareness and recognition were up that of a player with more experience. Like, he's played a lot of football, and I think they like him back there.
See, I think that could be the guy that's like that hybrid safety corner guy that you could bring on a blitz, and that is a really physical player.
And he, because he's built. My man is solid. Amani Hooker is a solid player.
Yeah, I can hear it in your voice, the appreciation for his solidness.
I mean, it just stands out.
Yeah, yes, it does.
Very jealous.
What about a LaShawn Sims or a Tremaine Brock?
Also a free agent.
Yes, both free agents. Would they be an economical way of getting depth going forward, or do you think both of those guys walk as well?
I would. It would be pure speculation on my part at this point, but I would imagine that LaShawn Sims is a player that they're comfortable with, and that depends on, you know, what his value is to other teams as a fourth corner, because that's what he's going to be. I don't think he's anybody's top three starting corner in the NFL at this point. And so, again, that's more about a comfort level thing. I think that LaShawn Sims is a confident, albeit quiet, player. But he's a smart player. I think Mike Vrabel values that, and I think John Robinson as well. And, you know, that's one of John Robinson's successes. John Robinson eats in the fifth round. My man knows what he's doing in the later rounds with guys like Tajay Sharp and Jayon Brown. LaShawn Sims, not quite that caliber of player, but he's good. And I would think he's worth at least a one-year deal.
Since we're kind of working our way back on free agents, maybe towards the quarterback and the running back, which obviously we're going to talk about, and Conklin as well, Kamale Correa is an interesting case study, because it seems like he has a chance to be a great depth guy. He's a great effort guy. His numbers came up as the season went on. You know, his name showed up more and more in the box score all the way to the end of the line against the Chiefs. I think he had, 10 tackles and a sack in that game. So he's going to be an interesting case study to see what happens.
Versatility.
Yep.
Versatility is something they value very, very much here. And I think Mike appreciates the effort. Mike Vrabel appreciates the effort that he's shown, because it's one of those things, because we asked Vrabel about Correa as the season went on, certainly the postseason, because he was one of their more impactful defensive players. And Mike said, as long as you are willing to put in the work, we're going to find a way to get you involved. And that's paraphrasing. That's not an exact quote. But that was the thesis of what he was saying. And I think they like that in Correa. I think those are the kind of people that you keep around, even if they're not starters, they're contributors. And I think that they could find an economical way to keep Kamale Correa here in Nashville. And we wrote about this a lot at AtoZSportsNashville.com. Spent a lot of time on how to address the pass rush. And so you can check that out there.
Let's pick this up some more on the other side. Maybe let's stay with the pass rush a little bit longer, because you do have a guy under contract, Cam Wake. This year didn't really pan out the way anybody thought for him, including him or John Robinson or anyone else, as he finished the year on injured reserve.
No surgery.
So what do you do with him? We'll discuss that and more when we come back with Buck Rising from A2Z Sports. When it comes to outside your house and keeping things sealed from A to Z or in any direction, I'll tell you who you need to know about, and it's Everseal. This Everseal product is amazing, because if you own a home and you have a driveway and you have to keep it sealed, or maybe a lot of people love this, you know, the big elaborate deck on the back of their house, and they get the TV and the grill and they hang out back there. Well, every couple, 3 years, what happens? You got to power wash it. You got to put the stain back on it or some kind of seal. Look, with Everseal, it's a seal it and forget it thing. So all these weekends, all this time, all this gnashing of teeth, it all goes away. They come over, they clean wood, aggregate, concrete, like it's never been cleaned before, and then they seal it with something that was actually invented for industrial application but worked so well, the Everseal folks have brought it to you and to your home. A lot of you, it's about to be spring. You're going to start getting estimates for paint. Don't do that. Get Everseal. 25-year manufacturer-backed warranty, and if you ever sell your house, you can just pass this along. Don't call the painter. Don't call the power washer. Call Everseal. Here's the number, 1-844-EVER-USA. Or for more information, go to ever-seal.com.
Do you have
job powered by the Tennessee Lottery? Buck Rising from A to Z Sports hanging out with us for a couple more segments. You want to talk Titans with Buck? 615-737-1045. We'll get you on the line. Cameron Wake was the name that came up before we took the break. He is not a free agent this year. He was signed to a 3-year contract before last year. He finished the year on injured reserve, and we kind of did a little deep dive. He played week 1, 2, 3, and 4. He had a fantastic game. 2.5 sacks against Cleveland, and we all thought, holy moly. But those were the only sacks that he had on the year. He did play weeks 2, 3, and 4. Battled injury, played weeks 7, 8, 9, and 10. Played week 12 against Jacksonville, and that was the last we saw of him. Oddly enough, he played a season-high 36 defensive snaps in the last game that he played after playing a combined 26 snaps in the previous two games that he had played in.
I'm legit mad at myself for missing that when it happened, because that's fascinating to me. I don't understand why they would have done that. And, I mean, and we were talking about this in the break, understanding that Jacksonville was down and behind in that game and they were throwing the ball a lot, and that's when Cam Wake is supposed to play, supposed to be obvious passing downs, pass rush. But that's an interesting wrinkle in all of this. Regardless, when you look at his contract, I mean, it's structured in a way that it's really a one-year deal out of the 3 years, because the cap hit goes down, the dead cap hit that you would accrue goes down substantially from year one to year two. If you kept Cameron Wake on your roster next year, it would cost you $8.2 million, according to Spotrac. It would cost $2.6 to cut him. And so when you're talking about the guys who, and Yannick Ngakoue may not even be out there.
Right.
Because this is the guy that the Titans fans are drooling over. And yes. Then I saw I know it was a fan-sided report, but it's reports are coming out of all kinds of unconventional places. Speaking for the unconventional places, and I think we do a pretty good job.
Yes, you do.
I would like for them to be able to have a chance at Ngakoue. I'm afraid, though, that that's going to be a tag-and-trade type situation, and then you're talking about mortgaging your long-term future on a roster that has a bunch of open spots based on what they're going to have to do in free agency this year. It doesn't make enough sense based on what you got out of him last year to think that his body would hold up. I mean, even though guys like Terrell Suggs make a difference, mostly when they're not one-on-one in coverage against George Kittle. That was funny in the Super Bowl. But at the end of the year, when you're trying to make a push and you can find guys like that on the street who understand, who have had the entirety or the bulk of the season to make sure that their bodies are right, and then they come in and they put you over the edge like Dwight Freeney did for the Cardinals and the Seahawks a couple times.
Well, you talk about the body part. It's not very often you see a guy in the season on injured reserve and not have to have surgery.
Right.
So Cameron Wake's was a knee injury and apparently injured in a way where he didn't have to have surgery, wasn't walking on crutches ever, didn't have a cast. So, you know, he was able to kind of do, I guess, more normal things when you have that kind of injury. But Jim Wyatt had asked him towards the end of the season, you know, what his future was here with the Titans and, you know, or retirement. And he had said, you know, I don't have any plans of giving it up. And as long as there's a mutual desire from myself and the organization, then I'd look forward to playing here again. So from a Cam Wake standpoint, of course, he has to say that, but he would like to be back.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like Wesley Woodyard, who one of the best free agent acquisitions that this franchise has had and is at the tail end of his career as well. He's aware of it, but we ask him in the locker room, and he says, no, I'm still a beast. I plan on playing. And, you know, the thought in the back of your head is, well, that's fantastic. Best of luck to you. But, I can't imagine that would be a situation that
he will not
be
here.
I can't imagine.
He will not be here.
I can't imagine. And so so this is the thing that the competition-aholics deal with at the end. You know, at what point has it gone on too long? And I think that Wesley Woodyard, when they asked him to do things, he was fine. And Cam Wake in that season opener was fantastic, his 100th career sack.
I know we got excited early on with Wake. He made a difference. This is exactly what they want out of him, you know, 20 snaps and
Two and a half sacks in the first game. Yeah.
Safety, the whole thing. Yeah. It was a celebration of Cam Wake at 37 years old. And now, you know, you've probably seen the bulk of that usefulness when it comes to, you know, just the pure business element of football. And that's the kind of difficulty when it comes to these things, because Wesley Woodyard and Cameron Wake are good to have in your locker room. But also you need to be able to get more production.
Well, and if you stay down that road, another guy, if you're looking at this spot track contract hit listing for the Titans.
The hit list?
The hit. Well, I mean, just how much they hit their cap hit.
Sure.
The guy listed after Cameron Wake is Delanie Walker. Cameron Wake's cap hit, 8.333 and a bunch of threes. Delanie Walker would be next with a little over $8 million cap hit. He is arguably, and I've said this a bunch of times, arguably the greatest free agent acquisition this team has had based on his production, with Kyle Vandenbosch and a handful of other guys that have come in and just and played lights out.
That one Jason Babin
Carter, the 1 year from Jason Babin. But this guy has been an all-timer for this franchise.
Yeah.
But, you know, he struggled for the last two full seasons almost. So that's going to be a tough decision for somebody.
And he wants to play too, Jimmy. Yep. I know Jimmy went to his charity event after the season was over, and he said he fully plans to continue to play. Again, it comes down to some of this is a Derrick Henry conversation as well. It comes down to the sentimental versus the economical and what makes the most sense. And every NFL team has to go through these things. And of course, every Titans fan that ever existed probably while Delanie Walker was on the team is going to be a massive Delanie Walker fan, because for however bad it was, he was a legitimate, consistently good player on a team that didn't have many guys who could consistently produce. He was he has been reliable and hugely effective, and I think that the case could very easily be made that he's the best free agent acquisition in football. And also at some point that has to come to an end. Like, this is just the reality of when you have a team in a position like this. Like, there was a window specifically designed for the players that you had on this particular iteration. That's why it felt so much like the band was breaking up at the end of the year, when you're talking to Marcus Mariota in the locker room and you're talking to Jarrell Casey and Wesley Woodyard and Delanie Walker is there and Jack Conklin and all of these guys who have been specifically put onto this team to try and take advantage of that window. This is just the part of this is the part where there comes more turnover. And you have to try and run it back creatively.
That's when you have growth in a franchise. And when you're a good team, you're going to end up paying people a lot of money. And so you've got the highest paid tackle, the highest paid safety. You're looking at maybe the highest paid running back. I mean,
congrats. You put together a good team.
Yes.
Do it again.
Right. And that's the mark of great general managers, though. I mean, you can put it together, but can you keep it going? And can you move pieces around the board and still come up with the same results?
Absolutely.
That's where they are.
Absolutely. And this was literally the roster was set up correctly, or the roster, the salary cap was set up correctly in a way that they were prepared to have to pay a quarterback at the end of the season. Now they're going to have the flexibility to do that. And then some, just a different quarterback.
Let's go down the quarterback line of thinking a little bit, since you brought it up. Buck Rising from A to Z Sports hanging out.
Is Brady here? NBA?
No, it's Steve Hutchinson.
I thought that was so damn funny.
I will say this. We've had some fun talking about the Tom Brady thing, but it's part of what every national NFL covering show is doing. As a matter of fact, I've got some audio we're going to play later from Mike Greenberg, where they did five potential spots for Tom Brady. One of the four spots that wasn't New England was Tennessee. And that's going to keep up until something happens with Ryan Tannehill or something happens with Tom Brady.
List season. Love it.
I mean, you love stuff like this.
Listen, bring the circus
like gold
to town.
At the end of the rainbow for you.
I don't care about anybody else's money. If it was up to me, I'd bring everything that Tom Brady has to offer right here. Like, Ian just Rappaport, for the fun of it.
Ian Rappaport put it well this week with us. He said, if you think about it, Tennessee does make sense on a lot of levels, but doesn't make sense from one big level. And that is, Tom Brady, to become a free agent, has to go through this window of time to get to the free agency period. What do the Titans do with Ryan Tannehill?
Yeah,
they're waiting on Tom Brady, they also have to wait on Ryan Tannehill, and that's like standing in the middle of the Montmartre and waiting for cars to go by.
It's not a good idea.
And not hit you.
It's not a good idea to play that game, especially after what if we are to believe the reports that have been coming out, and there is no inclination that they are not believable, that the Titans plan to make Ryan Tannehill the long-term solution at quarterback, right, either in the near term by franchise tag or otherwise.
Right.
I know there were reports out before the Oakland game saying that the preferred method was extension. You can't play this Tom Brady dance is not feasible.
Yeah.
Also, not at the point in Tom's life where he's no longer interested in pay cuts.
See, where it would make sense is if Tannehill was under contract for 2020, then you could go, because you're not up against the free agency period. Then you can negotiate with Tom should he become a free agent. And then if you go down that way, you cut Tannehill. But you can't do that right now because they're both free agents.
You just put yourself at, especially in this NFL. In this NFL where the quarterbacks are being weaponized more now than ever in the way that they have the ability to use their legs, I think you're anchoring yourself with a guy like Tom Brady in this version of the league right now. And Tannehill gives you that ability while also being proven as a competent, average to above average in moments passer. And I think that you have both of those things. And the Brady thing, Brady would be great to sell tickets. It would be great for all the media coverage. It would be great for all of us because Tom Brady, for the same reason that Get Up is talking about Tom Brady, Tom Brady's good business.
Yeah.
Tom Brady's great business. I take those clicks. But also, it doesn't make sense.
We got one more visit with Buck Rising, one more segment to try to make sense. Woo! This is with A to Z Sports, at Buck Rising, at A to Z Sports, to keep up with all his online frivolity. A to Z Sports cover a lot of things as well, other than Buck. You may get lost on there and find things you like better than him.
Yes, Big Orange Podcast.
There
just
you go.
Got one out.
It's all brand there. New. One more segment with him when we come back. Let me tell you about this quick message first, though. What kind of internet do we have at our house? The same kind you should have. Xfinity X5. It is the best. Look, when it comes to your internet, what do you want? You want speed. You want control. You want ease of use, right? You want everybody doing everything all at the same time and rolling through all their apps and their shows and their games, and my son watching YouTube for kids on his iPad. You want everybody to be rolling at the same time. You can do that. Xfinity X-Fi gives you the ultimate control of your in-home Wi-Fi from anywhere. You could even actually control it from home on Xfinity X1. The Xfinity app, X-Fi app, helps you connect devices, change profiles, change network names, passwords, pause Wi-Fi to any device at any time. Maybe that would help you get everybody to bed or to the dinner table. Again, it's the ultimate control. It's the ultimate speed, and it is the best internet. We've been with Comcast and Xfinity for as long as we've had it, and we wouldn't do anything else, and you shouldn't either. So get started. Call 1-800-XFINITY, visit Xfinity.com, or drop into an Xfinity store today and get yourself more details about Xfinity X5.
Hey, Nashville.
3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Buck Rising hanging out for another segment with us. We always say you can call Buck if you want to, and Josh has just done just that. Let's go to the phone lines. Josh, say hello to 3HL and Mr. Buck Rising. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Yeah. I may be one of the only Titans fans to be like, please, I don't want Brady there, but I've watched Brady play throughout his career, and he's a great, great quarterback. Last year's numbers were down, and I can honestly say I didn't see many of his games. But when he played the Titans, they gave him so many opportunities. They went to his own defense, which he ate up throughout his whole career. But he looked horrible against them.
I don't know if he looked horrible.
Can
I think
you name his second wide receiver?
That's the thing.
I mean, he's got no weapons.
This is a total, and you know, retrospect is one thing, but like if they have Antonio, Brown, yes, thank you, Josh. If they have, I'm so excited to rail against this point that I've forgotten to thank him. Thank you, Josh. If they have Antonio Brown, it's a totally different offense. Like if they have Antonio Brown, they're probably in the Super Bowl. Tom Brady looked fine in that game. He had issues because they were consistently put in third and long situations, and he's throwing to 85-year-old Ben Watson. And Edelman was clearly hiding some kind of injury at the end of the year. He didn't look right and dropped a pass that Julian Edelman never drops.
Yeah.
If Julian Edelman catches that pass on, I think it was a second down, I think it's, you know, maybe it's dramatic, but I think we're talking about a potentially different situation with at least them advancing. I think that Tom Brady is just, he spends so much time throwing the ball away now. And he hasn't had good offensive lines, but what's to say that this is a good pass-protecting offensive line? This is a good run-blocking line. It's great run-blocking.
Very good, yes.
And it makes a difference that you have Derrick Henry behind you, but also much better at run-blocking than they are at pass-blocking. Tom Brady cannot move. Ryan Tannehill can if you have the ability to beat the Jags on plays like that first play from the line of scrimmage where the entire Jags defense sells out to stop Derrick Henry and Tannehill runs for 20 yards. Tommy ain't doing that.
No, definitely not. Julian Edelman hiding the injury. To answer my question, Philip Dorsett is the number two receiver for the Patriots. They've got Ben Watson at tight end, who is 157 years old.
Yes, he is.
And that's it. They didn't have a 100-yard rusher in any game this season. So there were issues there.
Yeah.
With regard to New England.
And their wunderkind longtime offensive line coach is retiring, who was Dante Scarnecchia. He was getting guys paid like Nate Solder and Trent Brown that didn't necessarily live up to the size of their contracts, but was mitigating the need for high-caliber offensive linemen, also because Brady was getting the ball out quicker. He was having like recognition problems this year. It was affecting that, and he didn't look like he trusted the guys he was out there with, and it was affecting his tempo. If you come in with Brady now, you run the risk of disrupting what you have with Tannehill and A.J. Brown, and I think that's your most valuable commodity moving forward. I think that given the uncertainty with what you have with Derrick Henry, the value placed on the relationship that Tannehill and your future star, if not already star, yeah, wide receiver has, don't mess with that. Don't vibe with that, especially when it just makes more sense to keep the other guy.
His projected value from SpotTrack, which we've referenced a few times, is this figure that I'm showing you right there.
I think you've called it three different names since we've started talking about
SpotTrack. You said SpotTrack. It's SpotTrack. They call it SpotTrack.
They're wrong.
Yeah. It looks like SpotTrack.
That's like GIF and GIF.
Yes.
Also wrong.
It's that number right there.
Would you like for me to read for the people?
Yep.
That is an estimated market value per SpotTrack of $30.5 million average annual salary. 4 years, $122.2 million.
Sixth ranked in the NFL, which would also be six for quarterbacks because they're always the highest paid people. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, that's the market.
$30 million.
What's Jimmy G making?
Well, they're already
three. There was literally talk about him. Do they need to go ahead and extend him at this point?
They're talking about trading him because he's got such a bloated contract and he was very, very average.
That's one of the maybe funniest rumors out there is that Tom Brady goes to San Francisco and Jimmy G goes back to New England.
You know what that's called? Sweet, sweet justice. Tommy.
Well, you know who would want that to happen?
Billy.
Billy B.
Billy.
Dad.
Dad?
Well, there's Dad and Grandpa. Dad?
Billy B may be in Nashville right now.
He may be.
You don't know. He's at Gronk's beach party.
Is the market really $30.5 million for Tannehill?
Yeah. Dak's probably going to get closer to 40 than he is 30. I mean, this is the situation with quarterbacks. Like Aaron Rodgers.
They are.
That's the thing with
should he get the same amount of money that Dak Prescott gets, who's younger and on the come up, threw for 4,900 yards last year?
He should arguably get more. There's more of a track record with Tannehill. I mean, there's more of a body of work. You can make the argument that especially with quarterbacks, with the way that we've seen these older guys progress, you could argue that Tannehill could get more than Dak Prescott. Now, I don't think that argument will be made by Dak Prescott's agents. But I think, like, people forgot this point when we were talking about a Marcus Mariota extension. Mickey, if you can pull up for me what Carson Wentz and Jared Goff are making right now. If Marcus Mariota was going to get an extension, and given that he and Jared Goff and Carson Wentz share the same agent, the starting point on an extension for Marcus Mariota, if they had sought one, for those agents, should have been what Jared Goff and Carson Wentz are making, which I believe is 32.5. That's a guess. But I think that's exactly where it would have gone. This is the market value for quarterbacks. And yes, the salary cap is going to be $200 million next year. and it continues to rise by $10 million, or at least in the last 6 years. The salary cap for the NFL has risen $10 million annually for the last 6 years. It makes these contracts, like Khalil Mack already looks like a bargain for the Bears.
Yeah.
And they just made that deal 2 years ago.
That's why you go ahead and sign Patrick Mahomes now.
That's why the Eagles did it with Wentz.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz average value is 32. Who was the other one that you said?
Jared Goff.
Goff is, I'm scrolling. So it's Russell Wilson is 35, Roethlisberger 34, Aaron Rodgers 33.5, Jared Goff 33.5.
33.5.
Carson Wentz 32, Matt Ryan is 30. Those are the ones who have 30 or more.
That's
average.
The market. Jared Goff is thoroughly average.
So based on 10 regular season games and 3 postseason games, do you franchise him at 27 or contract him up at 30 per?
I think the franchise tag, I think the value on that's going to change when if the Dak deal gets done before that, because I think that has the ability. So it could be closer to the $30 million mark that we're talking about.
And if Patrick Mahomes gets signed for $40
million. Yeah, that would be painful if you're going to just go for the 1 year deal and then he's already upset because you've opted to tag him.
That's a good point.
Rather than extend him. I think that the extension would likely be the more palatable option.
Now, Derrick Henry said we've talked a lot about this, but you know, you think about it like every day. Derrick Henry said the floor was Ezekiel Elliott.
He's disputing that now.
He is disputing that. He did say it, but he's disputing it.
Dawn.
I had an argument with somebody on Twitter about this. I get he's disputing that he said that, but at the end of the day, it's basically the same message. You're saying the same thing.
He said it.
I mean, it's not, it's, I get it. He's saying I wasn't demanding that it at least has to be this. That's what he's saying.
Here's what I'd say.
But at the end of the day, he's still the highest paid, and that's what you're looking at and measuring off of. So it's the same dang thing.
And here's what I would say to Derrick Henry. How does it feel to be in that national spotlight, big boy?
Yeah, because he is.
That's a tough one.
Listen, everybody at Radio Row at the Super Bowl was talking about Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
That guy is a superstar.
It's a whole different level because he's used to saying things, and Derrick Henry doesn't typically say much. Derrick Henry is very used to saying things in a way that they're not going to blow up like that, and that consumed the news cycle.
Alabama guy.
1,000%.
You can't give a 400-carry guy, big physical running back like him, a 6-year deal. You can't do that, can you?
You can't. I mean, you can, but it would be unwise based off, I mean, and I know Mike Miracles, our friend at Music City Miracles, put out the contract numbers and the cost of some of the running backs that had been in previous Super Bowls, and Damian Williams at $1 million and change was one of the higher paid guys.
Yeah. Ezekiel Elliott's deal, 6 years, $90 million. Fifty guaranteed?
50 guaranteed.
That's so for those wondering.
And so the quote that Derrick Henry gave to Rich Eisen that he is now disputing is that was the floor. He said he misunderstood. That has all been noted for the record, and now we can discuss this. Again, Derrick Henry, somebody's going to pay him that money. I just think they're more willing to let him test the market than people might be willing to admit. Like, I think
I'm starting to think that too.
It's just the
situation.
Do you
transition tag him then?
It makes a lot of sense. Do you rub him the wrong way if you do? How much does he, like, how, I know he's been put in a lot of awkward situations where people are asking him constantly, do you want to play here? Do you want to come back here? Which is going to, it's going to put him in a bad position if he's too excited one way or the other, because it's all leverage when you get in these rooms. It's all leverage, and that sucks for a guy in that position. So I understand that he doesn't want to say anything that's going to sway that one way or another. But like, legitimately, how much does it mean to him long term financially to stay here in Tennessee? Yeah. Because that's what we're talking about here. How much does he value long term what somebody else could give him over potentially coming back to Nashville and being hometown hero and all of these things? That's going to be a decision that he and him and his representatives have to make. And I have no idea one way or the other. I know he said all of these things, and I would not take him at anything but his word. But again, that's the decision that you're going to have to make. And it's a tough one, and it sucks for the fans who love him, and it sucks for the Titans marketing department, because it could cost them. I mean, it's going to cost them money with a star like that.
Yeah.
Cause you're burning a whole lot of fan equity. Yeah. It's going to be a fascinating offseason. That's why I'm putting off these top 5 lists with Greenberg. Get out of here with Greenberg. I'm not here for list season.
He's got to get his clicks too, just like you.
No.
Do it. Clicks better. Just keep getting harder to find.
Do it more creative.
Buck Rising at Buck Rising, at A to Z Sports, soon to have a head shaved.
Yeah,
right here
next week on the midday 180.
It's reprehensible that it's taken this long.
Yes, it is.
And if you want to see it, we're going to live stream it at A to Z Sports on Facebook.
Let Simon Kuharsky do it.
Yeah. Simon's got a great haircut. And I look like a sheep because I've been waiting for this thing to be shaved. We need to get this going here.
That Malcolm Butler should be the one that does it on Twitter. And Holden writes, will he be eligible to come off IR for this?
We'll be back. 104.